Well, Kanye West has apparently gotten serious about the Lord. I was really happy to hear about it. But apparently, I had underestimated just how significant this was for a lot of people. For the next several weeks, it seemed like it was wall-to-wall Kanye. Kanye makes a guest appearance at Joel Osteen's stadium. Kanye releases a gospel album. Kanye leads a worship service. But meanwhile, I have to believe that during the same period of time, there were a whole lot of other people who had committed their lives to the Messiah, including in places where it is dangerous to be a Christian. Not so famous people were also being saved. But that doesn't make the news. So why is it that we get so excited when a famous actor or musician or athlete publicly announces their faith in Yeshua? Maybe it's for the same reason that in recent years we've heard less and less about truth and more about being relevant in the culture. Perhaps we're telling ourselves that celebrity salvations will lend credibility to Christianity in the eyes of the world. It won't. And we shouldn't be pursuing credibility in the first place. In fact, according to Scripture, if we did have credibility in the world, if we had respect in the world's eyes, it would indicate that something's seriously wrong with us. But don't take my word for it. Listen to what James says. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. This morning's message I've entitled The Personality-Driven Church. We are coming up on Hanukkah and Advent. It's a joyful and also a contemplative time of year. Both of these holidays celebrate the history of God giving victory to the humble, the few, and the weak over the arrogant, the many, and the powerful. Though I would argue it is intellectually dishonest, Yeshua's people are often portrayed in our culture as being weak and irrelevant. Such disdain can take an emotional toll on us. It's wearying to the soul to be considered an oddball or a nuisance and to be marginalized and even outcast. It takes a toll. But that is part and parcel of what it means to be a disciple of Messiah Yeshua. The world hated him, and he assured us that it would hate us as well. I hope you'll think of this morning's drasha as a word of encouragement. We may not be rich or famous or even respected, but we are privileged beyond imagination. Even if we are small potatoes, it's okay. And we need to be reminded from time to time that pursuing credibility with the world can ensnare us and lead us in a bad direction. Let's have a look this morning at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 29. It's actually one of my favorite little passages in the Brit Chadashah. Rabbi Paul writes this. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish of the world to shame the wise. And he chose the weak of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly of this world and the despised and the nobodies, to nullify the somebodies, so that no one may boast before God. The phrase by human standards, kata sarka in Greek, literally according to the flesh, but it means by human standards. That should govern our understanding of this entire passage. If we are not considered wise or sophisticated, the Greek word is sophi, or influential, dinati, or of high pedigree, efginis, it isn't God's estimation of us, it's the world's estimation of us. It isn't that we are foolish or insignificant or lowly, it's that we are regarded as foolish, insignificant, and lowly by the world's reckoning. That the world holds Yeshua's people in contempt is a foregone conclusion. If you haven't experienced a measure of ridicule or just being marginalized lately, maybe not enough people know that you're a follower of Jesus. But that we're going to be held in contempt, it's a foregone conclusion. What is less certain, however, is whether we will patiently endure it and respond the right way. And it's what I want to talk about this morning. It seems to me that for some years now, evangelicals and even evangelical leaders have been engaged in what I regard as an unwise pursuit of credibility in the eyes of the world. Now, you'll hear it presented in more sophisticated terms. You'll hear it described as our need to be relevant to the culture if we hope to make inroads for the gospel. Sometimes you hear it described as our needing to earn the right to speak. But I have to wonder whether what's really underlying that, all the sophisticated rhetoric, what's really underlying that is really nothing more complicated than the desire for people's approval or the fear of their disapproval. And I get that. I get it. I have the same insecurities as the next guy. But I fight against it, as should we all. But I fear that on the whole, the body of Messiah has capitulated to the allure of celebrity, precisely as part of that pursuit of credibility from the culture. And so we have celebrity pastors, and we make a big splash over celebrity conversions. And I would argue that in the process, we're allowing ourselves to drift away from the centrality of Messiah Yeshua, fawning over other human beings, however talented or famous they may be, as a strategy to win people to the Lord is misguided at best. And at worst, it comes dangerously close to idolatry. And I would add, this isn't helpful to the celebrities themselves who have become believers. Think about the process of what it takes to become a disciple. It doesn't happen overnight. If the process of growing into a disciple takes years, how much more is needed if that person is going to take on the responsibilities and the consequences of leadership that come with being an elder or a pastor, preacher? And discipleship doesn't happen in the spotlight. It happens in private. It happens under the mentorship of an older saint, and in the quietness of cultivating those daily disciplines of praying and studying the scriptures. Just because someone is viewed as a cultural icon, a leader, a thought leader in the prevailing culture, it doesn't follow that they be entrusted with leadership in the church. Let me give you five fairly recent examples of famous people who were thrust prematurely into the evangelical spotlight before their faith was well grounded and for whom it didn't go very well after that. Actor Charlie Sheen. He professed publicly that he had become a believer in Jesus. Well, his conversion doesn't seem to have had any effect whatsoever on his way of living. Then we have actress and activist Jane Fonda, who announced that she had become a follower of Jesus, and all everybody was fawning over that. She actually has given interviews where she talked about really being put off, that she was thrust into the spotlight again, pressure foisted on her as a new Christian. She feels like it was harmful to her. Music icon Bob Dylan, who initially was very vocal about his faith in Yeshua, he even put out a fantastic album or two of some really great songs with a gospel theme. But for years now, he's been largely silent. I know he likes to be a little mysterious. That's just his thing. But you don't hear any talk of Yeshua from Bob Dylan anymore. Football legend Reggie White, before he passed away, had wandered off into some bizarre Lost Tribes two-house teaching. Hustler publisher Larry Flint announced publicly in 1997 that he had become a believer in Jesus. His faith lasted all of 1 year. And in fact, he gave interviews later where he lampooned the whole thing. But during that time, everybody was fawning over him. And now, more recently, we have the case of Joshua Harris, author of numerous best-selling books, including I Kissed Dating Goodbye, who, despite having neither biblical nor theological training, was made a pastor. Very quickly, the church grew, probably owing in large part to his name recognition. But in July of this year, just a few months ago, Harris publicly announced his divorce from his wife. And then one day later, publicly renounced his faith in Yeshua. And then a few days after that, publicly took part in a local gay pride parade. But because of his celebrity status, thousands of people were attending that church. And now many of them were left scratching their heads and scrambling to find a new spiritual home. But rather than point an accusatory finger at celebrities who abandon the faith, I think we need to admit that these sad situations are in large part our own doing. I think we need to own this. We hastily elevate celebrities who are new Christians into spiritual leadership. And you realize, when we do that, we're violating what Rabbi Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 3:6, that we are not to put new believers into leadership. It can be a snare for them. And when we do that, we also put them, as it were, under a microscope. And unrealistic expectations are put upon them. And it also contributes to dissension in the body. I often see people, and you've probably seen this in internet discussions, becoming overly defensive in support of their favorite celebrity or pastor or celebrity pastor. And then others become hypercritical of them. The arguing sometimes becomes heated. Now, do you remember that Paul, earlier in the very same chapter, took the Corinthians to task for playing favorites and causing division among them? One saying, "I'm of Paul," and another, "I am of Apollos," and another, "I am of Cephas," and another, "I am of Christ." Well, sadly, it seems like we've learned nothing from his rebuke of the Corinthians. We're doing the very same thing today. Only the names have changed. I am of MacArthur, and I am of Piper, I of Stanley, I of Furtick, I of Hagee, I of Osteen. And we have less excuse because we have the Word of God. When will we learn? And then there's all the arguing about whether a particular celebrity is really saved or not. Oh boy. In the process, where's Yeshua? Seems that he's forgotten. We've lost sight of who is important. He is the personality which ought to be driving the church. Randy Alcorn wrote an article 2 months ago, or 3 months ago, entitled, "Famous Christians Are Losing Their Faith, and So Should You If Your Faith Is in Them." In the article, he wrote this: surprise, sadness, disappointment, and grief are natural and appropriate responses when someone we admire falls morally or otherwise abandons their faith in Jesus. However, if our faith is shaken when this happens, it reveals something wrong about our faith in the first place. Both Scripture and church history clearly state that many will turn away from Christ, even many who, because of their gifts and oratorical or musical skills, find themselves on platforms where people associate their name with that of Jesus. But as I said, I think the allure of celebrity conversions is subtly rooted in our desire to have the respect and the acknowledgement of the world. The biblical expression for it is Yirat Adam, the fear of man. And Proverbs tells us that the fear of man acts like a snare. You become entrapped when you live in fear of people's disapproval or clamoring and deeply needing their approval. The pursuit of credibility is the path to self-imposed slavery. It really is. First of all, it's unlikely you will attain it anyway. I mean, for all the celebrity conversions, for all the high-profile pastors, are we followers of Jesus suddenly respected in the world? No. So we shouldn't pursue it. It's a futile pursuit. Secondly, if you do that, you will almost certainly compromise what you know to be true and right in the process, if you are so dependent on somebody else's approval. Third, when we pursue credibility, we're never free to be ourselves. We're never free to speak our minds. We have to triangulate everything because we're worried about how this person or that person is going to react. We're never free. And besides, it's God, not people, who will be our judge on the last day. Not only is the pursuit of credibility or the fear of man destructive, but the irony is it's completely unnecessary. The reason we don't need to have credibility with the culture is because across history, God has delighted to use the obscure and the weak, the ostensibly insignificant, the ostensibly irrelevant, the oddballs, the few and the despised. These are the ones that God has across time delighted to use to accomplish his great purposes. So now let's return to our passage. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly of this world and the despised and the nobodies to nullify the somebodies so that no one may boast before God. Remember, it's not that we're insignificant. It's not that we're weak. It's not that we're lowly. That's how the world esteems us. God cherishes us, and we are the ones that he delights to use. You know the awkward little kid who's the last one to get picked or is the odd one out when the neighborhood kids are choosing teams for football or whatever? There's always the one kid, nobody wants him on their team, and then if there's an odd number, he gets left out. Well, guess what? That's the one God wants for his team. And we would do well to remember that the incarnation, we're coming up on the celebration of this great event in the history of the world. Up to that point, the birth of the Messiah into the world was the most significant event in the history of mankind. And it wasn't witnessed by anybody with any kind of worldly credibility. When the angel announced the birth of the Messiah, it wasn't to the aristocracy. It wasn't to any of the great Jewish scholars of the day, or to the politically well-connected. Even Herod was kept waiting. It was announced to shepherds. And you've heard me talk about this. Shepherds, those considered the losers of that time and culture. The greatest event in the history of the world, and who's going to be the witnesses of it? Nobody with any kind of worldly credibility. Nor did Messiah choose his disciples from among the prominent members of Israeli society. None of them were outstanding yeshiva students. None of them were Torah scholars. None of them were from politically powerful families. Most of them were simple fishermen. In fact, as if that wasn't lowly enough, most of them were Galileans who were considered the unsophisticated, the rednecks of the day. And through Messiah Yeshua, these quite ordinary men turned the world upside down. So you might even say that we should revel in our anonymity, revel in our seeming insignificance in society, even rejoice at our littleness. But in closing, let me caution us to avoid errors to two extremes. First of all, as I've said, we must avoid pursuing credibility, groveling for society's approval. But we must also not let ourselves become resentful toward those who are rich and powerful and popular, and in the process, in that bitterness, cease caring about people. We need to make sure we don't err to either of those extremes. And we really need to be praying for people like Kanye West and others who have been prematurely thrust into leadership. They are going to need an extra measure of God's grace and wisdom and humility, and they're going to need to have honest and wise and mature believers speaking into their lives. Pray that way. For you and me, let's be content to fly under the radar. There's no need for us to try to be something we're not. We don't need to be credible in the eyes of the world. We don't need to impress anybody. We just need to be faithful. The words we should live for are, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And those words come from just one person. Let's pray. Avinu Malkeinu, help us to rejoice in our littleness. Be glad about our weakness. Laugh in our anonymity. Delight to be your little ones. We know that you will bring great results because it begins with you and it ends with you. Thank you for the season into which we're entering, a season of contemplation, a season of humility, and you gave us the greatest example of humility, even in the circumstances of Messiah's birth. Thank you for our time together this morning as we continue in prayer. Lord God, continue to fill us fresh with your Spirit. Shem Yeshua.